What do you get when you have one voiceover girl?
Oh, and me. That makes two voiceover girls.
Okay, when you have two voiceover girls, separated by one pond and two perspectives.
I know. You get the Voiceover Girls Across the Pond podcast.
That's right. Let's listen as Rami and Jessica share their journey into the voiceover industry. Hi, and welcome to the Voiceover Girls Across the Pond podcast. I'm Jessica Matheson.
Hello, everyone. I'm Rami Santosh.
Today, we're going to be talking about something that's been sort of a hot button in the voiceover industry for a while. We're going to talk about Fiverr. So if you don't know Fiverr, Fiverr is a freelancer site where folks can sign up, create a profile. They have these gigs that they can do for people, and people can go. It's a marketplace, really, where people can go and buy services, not just voiceover services. There's other services that people can buy as well. And the name kind of came from the idea that you paid $5 to have some kind of service done. So, you know, it's budget friendly, that sort of thing. But it's really like starting at $5, and prices can go up from there. And it's been sort of like I said before, like a real hot button in the voiceover industry, because there's a lot of talk about how Fiverr and people working on Fiverr and doing voiceover work is eroding rates. It's, you know, making it so that people have an expectation of what voiceover work should cost that's not reasonable or correct, that sort of thing. What about you, Rami? What kind of things have you heard about Fiverr?
Yeah, so when I joined the voiceover industry a few years ago, I definitely heard that if you join Fiverr, then you will be blacklisted and you won't get any work in the voiceover industry. So Fear was put into my heart about Fiverr and even going near it. So That was the first impression I had. So obviously I didn't want to even have the name going through my head, let alone anything else. And then I remember I had my first voice reel done, and my mentor at that time said, you're starting off, you must get lots of work experience. So spend the next 6 months getting whatever work you can, you know, even if it's free or for charity, whatever, just do it. And even if you have to join Fiverr, just do it to get work experience. So that was like completely the opposite of what I'd already heard. So it was the opposite, you know, just get work experience and join Fiverr if you need to. So I went into this dilemma about it, to be honest, thinking, well, what should I do? On the one hand, I'm being told I could be blacklisted and I'll never get considered in the voiceover industry. And then on the other hand, I'm being told, well, just join it just to get some work experience so you can get going and get your career started as a voiceover artist. So it was a very interesting dilemma at the time. Mm-hmm. The interesting thing is, so what the mentor was saying was, I don't think he was actually in favor of Fiverr as such, but what he was saying was, but use it as a starting point. Mm-hmm. To just get some experience. So that was the way I interpreted it at the time. Yeah. But there was that fear about if I do join it and I put my profile up there, somebody sees it and I could be blacklisted and I'll never get another job in my life. So it was a tricky time hearing very opposite opinions. Did you ever get anything like that? Any dilemmas?
Yeah, that's sort of the same thing for me. One of the things that I heard in a lot of the different webinars and coaching, like mentoring sessions and things like that I would attend, it would be, you know, if your goal is to eventually have an agent and get high paying work, you must not ever approach Fiverr, because agents don't want people on Fiverr because they feel like if the rates are not appropriate and that the expectation is not correct and that sort of thing. And they don't want to support Fiverr for that reason. But something that has been happening as of late is that there are voice actors, voiceovers that are starting to come out of the woodwork saying, I've been working on Fiverr for years and I am making decent money. And hey, by the way, I just signed with not one, but two, but three agents and I'm doing fine. And so it's making people kind of rethink Fiverr. And so now you're actually seeing a discussion happen, whereas there wasn't a discussion before. There was like people would say, you know what, you got to do what you got to do. But like, I wouldn't recommend it. You know, you would hear that. And now people are kind of going, you know, you got to do what you got to do, but just remember not to put yourself in a bad position for the future by being on Fiverr.
Discussion with another voiceover artist is quite well established. I think the way he looks at Fiverr is, well, it's a platform. That's it. So you can set your rates. You don't have to charge $5 for a gig. You can set your rates at $100 and just use it as a way of customers finding you and your services. So that's an interesting point of view as well. You know, you don't have to join Fiverr and charge $5 or $10 or whatever it might be. So you don't have to lower the prices. Obviously, there are lots of people there charging very small amounts, and that's uncomfortable. Certainly, I totally get the fact that, you know, we really don't want to be dropping our prices so low in terms of as an industry. I think we need to keep those well-paid rates for the work that we do, because it reflects all the training that we do and everything else. I can understand that perspective as well. That is a platform and you can set your rates. And I understand that there are people, you know, who do have high rates and are on that platform.
Yeah. And I think one of the other things that people get concerned about when they think about Fiverr and the rates that you charge are part of it for sure. Usage is another big one, because I guess a lot of times usage that's requested, because maybe people don't know any better, is in perpetuity. And in perpetuity is a scary phrase when you're talking about licensing your voice, because that means that they could use it anytime, anywhere, for any purpose without asking you for your permission or paying you again. And that can get you into trouble with exclusivity contracts. So like, for instance, let's say you did a commercial for a soda brand on Fiverr. And maybe you're like, yeah, man, I got $1,000 for that. But that thing is international and being used in perpetuity, and they use it for 5 years. And then you've got another soda company that says, oh, well, because that's out there, we can't hire you for our contract that's going to pay you $25,000. So you've just lost out on $25,000 for that $1,000 job that you did on Fiverr, because there's an exclusivity problem. So that's one of the major problems I think that people think about too.
That's an interesting point. I've also interestingly heard about people who are really doing very well on Fiverr, literally earning five figures and so on. So some people seem to have cracked it and don't have an issue about the reputation that Fiverr has.
Yeah. Some people that use like a pseudonym, kind of like a narrator or an author will use a pen name. And they'll be on there and using some different identity, I guess, to sort of separate themselves from their regular voiceover career. The other thing that you had mentioned, you know, people talking about how Fiverr is and sort of like shifting their way of thinking. I remember sitting in on a state of VO type of thing. And somebody well known in the industry had said, hey, listen, you know, like the gig economy is here. This is going to be, if you're going to be on pay to plays and things like that, people are starting to go to the Fiverr model. Right. And so it's, even if you don't want to be on Fiverr and work on Fiverr, it's probably a good idea to get into Fiverr and figure out how Fiverr works, because a lot of other pay-to-plays and freelancer sites are going to that model. And if you can figure it out there, when those changes happen to these pay-to-plays and freelancer sites, you're ready and you know how to build a gig that's going to work, and it's going to catch the eye of the algorithm, you know? So I thought that was a really interesting perspective too, where it was like, you know, you don't have to work on it, but definitely figure out how it works.
Yes, I think I saw that post too, and it's by somebody who's quite senior in the industry. Yeah, that made me think Fiverr is here. It's going to stay. It may well be the future in terms of models. Mm-hmm. So love it or hate it, just accept it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and another thing that I had heard one time, I think I was listening to a podcast, the VO Boss podcast, when Anne had Liz Atherton as a special guest in the series, like she did a series with her. And they got to talking about, you know, different ways of getting work and rates and things like that. And one of the things that she said that I thought was interesting and probably something to keep in mind when you're, you know, maybe judging people about whether they're on Fiverr or not. She was saying, you know what, if you've got a mama and she's got babies and she needs to feed her babies and she's going to accept a lower rate because she needs to feed her babies, you don't get to judge her. Mm. That's, I mean, and I'm paraphrasing, that's not exactly what she said, but like, it just kind of stuck with me because I was like, you know what, you're right. Maybe if somebody is working on Fiverr because that's paying their bills, then you know what, they're paying their bills and, exactly. And you don't get to judge them for taking care of their family. But at the same, on the other side of that, I guess, is that you have to be careful not to accidentally screw yourself where you, you know, cause you can spend your time on these lower paid gigs on Fiverr or whatever platform you're on. And you might be working consistently. You might be working a lot, but are you working consistently to the point where you can't actually reach out and get some of those higher paid gigs, those higher paid jobs and get clientele that are going to pay you at a better rate? You know, like you don't want to sit there and do crank out $5. You might make good money in a day doing $5 a day, but how much work did you have to do to make that good money versus having one job that you do in the day that pays you the same amount as a full day of work did for you and be able to reach out and fill your potential clientele with marketing or something like that. So that's something to keep in mind as well, I think.
I think that's a very good point. Definitely come across people that I probably wouldn't have expected to say this, but maybe on forums where they've said, look, if you've got to put bread on the table, then do the work, go on the platform that's right for you. But it is a balance. Like you said, how much work can you do? If you're going to be working 24/7 just to get bread on the table where you could be going off to other platforms which are better paid and valuing your work a bit more, I guess, and doing less and still getting the same amount, then it's you have to make that decision. You just have to make that decision. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, for me, it's like it's a personal choice. So that's where I sit. I'm detached. I think it's up to individuals to decide whether Fiverr or similar platforms are right for them. We all have to decide to make that decision for ourselves in terms of work and what our priorities are and our needs are. So for me, there is no judgment.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way. I'm not going to judge somebody who's working on Fiverr. I think if anything, I would caution folks who want to look at working on Fiverr to think about, you know, the things, particularly usage and exclusivity. Those are the things that maybe, okay, so you take a lower rate for now, and that's fine. That's not going to kill you, right? But you might kill your career if you, you know, accidentally get some exclusivity that like completely shuts you out of an entire sector because you've got contracts that are in perpetuity with people in that same sector. So no judgment. I can talk. Yeah. So no judgment, just maybe, you know, just caution, make sure that if you're going to work on Fiverr, you think it through and you make sure that you don't accidentally fall into any of those accidental pitfalls, you know?
Great. So next episode, we're actually going to talk to a few people and get their opinions on Fiverr. So that's going to be exciting, I think.
Yeah.
What different people are saying. And I think there's arguments both ways. So it'll be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's going to be awesome. I can't wait to hear what everybody else has to say.
Thank you for listening in and see you next time.
And don't forget, if you like the podcast, make sure you like, subscribe, and share with your friends. And if you want to join our Facebook group, it's facebook.com/groups/voiceovergirlsacrossthepond. Until next time, bye.
Bye. Thanks for joining us for the VoiceOver Girls Across the Pond podcast. This is where we would normally shout out to our sponsors.
Rami, we don't have any sponsors yet.
I know, but if we did, this would be the shout out. Hint, hint. Don't forget to like and subscribe to this podcast.
And tell all your friends, your family, your neighbors, and everyone else.